As I decided to preach on this, I thought it would be a message that this would be the introduction to the message. In fact, at that place that I was at on Friday night, I gave that introduction to start the little conference off that was there. But I'm making this introduction as the first part in this three-part series on caring for the garden, taken from Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. And I'm going to read it. I usually read from the NIV translation, but I'm going to read it from the Holman's Christian Standard Bible. And I really like that translation because it's very close to the literal. And sometimes when that literal word comes out, it helps you understand what the Bible is talking about. That little, more literal translation. So I really like it. So here's what it says in the Holman's Christian Standard Bible for Genesis 2:15. The Lord God took the man and placed him in the Garden of Eden to work it and watch over it. To work it and watch over it. Now, who we are, this is what I read earlier. Who we are is inseparably interwoven with what we do. Who we are is inseparably interwoven with what we do. Our privileged position as embodiments of God's image, we are God's embodiment of His image in bodies, in physical bodies, has given us a strategically important task, to accomplish. And that is, we bear our Creator's likeness to reflect and to represent Him in the created world. And we do this through our own creative work. We don't find a lot in this passage or anything about worship services or times of prayer or preaching or anything like that, because those are all remedial. Those are things that came into place so that we could get back to work because we got off track. But this idea of creative work, years ago, in fact, about 4 years before we began this church in 1992, I wrote a poem called Creator. And it's a pretty good poem to reflect what I'm talking about how we've been made as creative beings, okay? We've been made in the image of a Creator to be little creators. Someday, you'll compose a song or sing one very well. Feel a thrill of satisfaction in a tale you tell. Draw a picture, paint a portrait, shape a lump of clay. Plan and build a dream house, act a part within a play. Plant a lovely flower garden, set a gem in gold. Cut and piece and sew an outfit new and sharp and bold. Tinker to invent a gadget saving people time. Write an essay or a story set in prose or rhyme. And while feeling fresh fulfillment where you have achieved, in the goal of each ambition by your mind conceived, you will pause when all about you birds are singing too. Wind is whistling, stars are shining. Everything you view whispers softly, hints behind them of a happy mind. As if all that is around you stands both sealed and signed by a person, great designer, one you imitate when you follow yearnings to be skillful and create. We follow those yearnings because they're embedded in our hearts by the Creator who made us in His image as creators. And we do all of that. If we just look around, we cannot help but see it. It's all around this building, in artwork, in construction, in the pyramids, in flags, in crosses, in technology. All of that is creativity in the image of our Creator. We are creators because we are created in the image of the Creator. And that's the reason our job description in Genesis 2:15. That's why we have it. God calls us to care for creation. And that call wasn't canceled by human sin. It wasn't canceled by the fall. But human sin can make us hard of hearing to the call. It can make us hard of hearing. Because of our fall, God did something incredibly amazing. The incarnation. He did something incredibly amazing because we fell. He did something that's beyond our imagination, really, to imagine that God would become a human being. That is amazing. And in Jesus Christ, God became one of us, not just to redeem us from our sin, but to give us a human example of what it means for us to be prophets, priests, and kings. We say, wait a minute, Jesus is the prophet, priest, and king. Yes, he became human so he could become a human prophet, priest, and king, and our leader, so that we would follow him in being prophets, priests, and kings. In fact, after Jesus comes into our hearts, he brings the Holy Spirit, who becomes our personal counselor, so that we can follow Jesus as servant leaders in prophetic, priestly, and royal tasks that of caring for creation, of taking care of our duties as what we were created for. And we do this as we and creation together, both of us together, we and creation are waiting for the return of Christ. We find that in Romans 8. We'll get into that later in another message. But as we anticipate his return, we are talking about things like this to help us get back on track and help us to realize who we are and what we do and how important it is what we do, everything that we do. And to assist us in this thinking along these lines, I made up some very crucial questions, very explanatory questions. Number one, why did God create us as body, spirit beings in the first place? Why did he do it? Number two, how does Christ's incarnation define our own calling in a world that's been disrupted by sin? How does his creation relate to our incarnation? His incarnation relate to our incarnation, our being fleshly bodies here in a fallen world? How does that relate? Number three, what are the material and spiritual dimensions of a Christian concept of ecology? You know, Christians have avoided the word ecology for years, and now they're getting back to it because the Old Testament especially is full of it. And we don't see it because we've got sort of a spiritual mindset that is, we're body spirit beings, but we neglect our bodies and what they were supposed to do on the earth just because we're so heavenly minded, we don't become very much earthly good. And so ecology is coming back into our Christian vocabulary. And we'll talk about that later too. Number four, how is being servants of God shaped by our privilege of being co-creating friends of the Creator? This idea of friendship with God is a very different concept to us, but it's right there in Scripture. And we need to see it and we need to live it. Number five question, how does caring for the garden relate to our activities in the secular world around us, outside of church? How does caring for the garden relate to that? And all of these questions imply something. It implied that most of our service to God doesn't happen in church. Really. Most of our service to God does not happen in church, even for pastors. And I discovered that when I became a nurse and started into nursing. today's garden, today's plot, today's location that we are supposed to be working and taking care of is the sphere of jurisdiction that God has personally given to each of us. And it occurs in the work week, or the weekdays, Monday through Saturday, not necessarily on Sunday. It's those 6 days of labor that we are supposed to be involved in. And that's where we use our physical and our mental and our spiritual abilities that have been given to us by God to reflect His image. That's where we use those gifts, those skills, those abilities. Now, these three sermons will barely scratch the surface of this theme I'm talking about. It really will. It just won't be, tell you everything that I really need to tell you. We could go on for a long time, but I just want to establish a foundation, a theological foundation that we can build upon. And hopefully, it's going to inspire us and give us a zeal to serve as prophets, priests, and kings where the Lord has placed us. Now, that's very interesting because this word placed in Genesis 2:15, the Lord God placed him in the garden. That word placed means caused to rest. Isn't that amazing? Caused to rest in the garden. To work. And that's amazing. And we're going to look at that idea of resting in our tasks. Being able to rest in our tasks. We're going to look at that in a little bit. But first, there's another important question that I want to add to those five others. Is God concerned about who we are or what we do? That's a trick question. That's a trick question because it asks a either-or response. And the answer is a both and. Both and. Because who we are and what we do are interconnected. They're interwoven. They're intermingled. And they must be that way because that's how God created us to be. God is the creator because He created. The Holy Spirit is the counselor because He counsels. Jesus is the Savior because He saves. And we are believers because we believe. Who we are cannot be separated from what we do. Now, as I said, popular psychology will tell you, oh, we are not defined. Who we are is not defined by what we do. And there's an element of truth in that. But it's not completely right. Some may say, I'm a student. Yes, but do they really study the textbook? You know, we some people who are, you're a student, huh? Yeah, but are you failing? What? Because you're not being a student? You have to be the student. You have to do the work. Some may say, I'm a parent. Well, do you really guide and guard and protect your and provide for your children? If you don't, what kind of a parent are you? Your parenthood is not matching your activity as a parent. And that's what God's concerned about. Some may say, I'm a citizen. Yes, but do you really perform the duties of good citizenship? If you don't, what kind of a citizen are you? Jesus said in John 10:10, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Who we are as God's children comes by receiving new life from Christ. We just receive. There's nothing we can do to get that. We receive it from Christ. But we express ourselves as God's children by what we do with that life. What do we do with that life? How we speak prophetically for God. We speak as a mouthpiece for God. God is concerned about that. how we minister and serve other people. God is concerned about that. How we lead others with His royal authority. God is concerned about that. In other words, do we live poorly or do we live abundantly? God's concern is about who we are and what we do. He is concerned about both. Who we are and what we do. His concern explains this word placed. Placed with its dual meaning of location and of rest. That's what it has, a dual meaning of location, of being caused to settle, to rest, and to be at peace there, to be at rest, the idea of Sabbath. In fact, as God's image bearers, we rest because God rested on the seventh day after 6 days of creative work. Well, Saturday is the Old Testament Sabbath. But ours is Sunday because we rest in Christ's finished work on the day He completed it by resurrection on Sunday, the first day of the week. Until Christ's return, each activity in this New Testament work week should be characterized by a Sabbath rest in our hearts, characterized by resting in Him. Now, He says in His Word, "Take my yoke upon you." In other words, there is some work involved here. If you've got a yoke on, that means you're going to pull something, right? But He says, "Take my yoke upon you. I'm on the other side of this yoke." A yoke is to put things together. And Jesus is the other oxen. And if we're oxen, He says, "Take my yoke upon you. Yoke, be yoked with me. Because my load is easy and my burden is light." You know, we have to say, if we are involved in something, we've taken on a task, we're involved in an activity, and we're not at rest in that activity, that might show us something, that it wasn't from God, that God gave us that activity. We took it upon ourselves if we're not doing it in rest. And that's an important way of guiding. It was the wrong task. We shouldn't have done that. And then we suffer for it because the yoke is not easy and the burden is not light. That's not Jesus' yoke. That's not Jesus' task for us. If we can't find Sabbath rest in it. A Sunday Sabbath, what we're experiencing right now, a Sunday Sabbath is for resting, relaxing, recreation. And that last word, recreate, and it was in this song that we sang, "Morning Has Broken," God's recreation of the new day, recreation. That's where the word recreation comes from, recreation. This word recreate. This word recreate or recreate has three meanings. One of the meanings is this. We think, it means for us to stop working and have fun. Well, listen to this. These three meanings. Number one, to reanimate, repair, renovate, revive, or restore energy. Number two, to cheer, embolden, to encourage. Number three, to reestablish or create anew. And these definitions tell us what we humans need for getting ourselves back to work. It's just what we're experiencing on Sunday is to get us through the rest of the work week. To get us back to work with the same zeal and inspiration that we had when we started the last work week. God wants to recreate or restore who we are and what we do. He wants to restore us in that. And our personal identity, who we are, and our creative work, what we do. It comes from Him.
It comes from Him.
And He wants to fill both of them with new life. And that life is His life. His life. So who we are is inseparably interwoven with what we do. Who we are as image bearers of the Creator must be kept in alignment with what we do as cultivators and as guardians of the creation. Because that's what we're going to look more at. Those words, to work it and to watch over it, to cultivate it, to guard it, to tend it, or, as we might say, reshape it, make it more beautiful. Because God left Adam and Eve to do something with that garden that was beyond what He had done, and to protect it. And that's an important point that we don't usually think about. Adam and Eve were supposed to protect the garden. So staying under the sound teaching of God's staying under Bible preaching and listening to God's Word, staying under those things helps us to stay in alignment. And we do this through church. We do it through our devotional times. It helps us to be in divine alignment as a regular, ongoing part of our lives, to keep us on track so that we don't go off track and stop doing what God wants us to do. And that's why we're in church right now, to keep on being who we are as God's children, aligned with what we do in God's kingdom. And we're going to hear more about this. Let's pray. Father God, thank You so much for this tiny verse that has so much meaning for us. Not because we are still where Adam and Eve were, because they did fall, but because Jesus has come and restored us to our place where we're supposed to be as creators, as those who are prophets, priests, and kings in Your kingdom. Help us to be this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.